your name. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. And it is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, today we see a side of Jesus that we rarely see. And we hear him use pretty violent metaphors that are far more violent to our modern ears than they would have been to his original audience. It's not an easy text for us, but there is one part of this lesson that I really love. There is this unfiltered Jesus moment where he tells us how he really feels about our calling to welcome children, to nurture their faith. Our lesson today, it takes place only moments after Jesus taught his disciples that if they welcome a child, they welcome him. And they welcome the one who sent him, God, who is the creator of the universe. Now, just in case the disciples did not take this teaching seriously, Jesus follows up with this. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Just in case we did not believe Jesus when he told us how important our call to welcome little ones, children, is, he teaches us this. He tells us quite clearly how he feels about our failure to nurture the faith of children. Actually, it's not even failure that Jesus describes here. This is how Jesus feels about people putting just a stumbling block before a little one. Jesus says that if you cause a child to stumble in their faith, not fail, just stumble, that what he describes is a preferable fate. It is a preferable fate to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea to drown than what Jesus thinks should happen if you cause a child to stumble in their faith. This millstone situation, this is getting off lightly. lesson. Jesus tells us how he really feels about our calling to welcome children. Siblings, if there is a calling that Jesus wants us to take seriously, one might even say deadly seriously, it is this: welcoming children. Take a moment and let the gravity of what Jesus says to us today sink in. Jesus, he is not messing around when he calls us to welcome children. He's very serious. So, on that note, today I'm asking all of you to do something I'm fairly certain you've not done before. Something that might even be outside of some of your comfort zones. But I thought about this a lot, and I'm very proud of it even more. And I feel strongly that this is what God is calling us to today. Today, we're celebrating Hannah's first communion. Now, when we celebrate the sacrament of communion, we have a taken-for-granted method of communion. We receive at the table a piece of bread and a sip of wine. And we use these two things, bread and wine, because that's what Jesus used. And over time, we've expanded these taken-for-granted methods to include gluten-free and alcohol-free options so that more people can commune safely. But our taken-for-granted methods do not consider what someone receives at the table if they cannot safely consume any of these options. Just as cannot safely consume our taken-for-granted options for communion. Without intention, our taken-for-granted methods, they exclude those who cannot safely consume the food that we offer at the table. And this presents a serious problem, because as we know, Jesus does not exclude anyone. And Jesus has very strong feelings about how we welcome our children. It is our calling, as followers of Jesus, and mine as a minister of word and sacrament, to find a way to include, to welcome all God's children at this table. Because that is what Jesus would have done. So, when Nate and Janae and I discussed the best way for Hannah to commune, I gave a lot of thought and prayer to the purpose of what we receive at the table. We use bread and wine because that is what Jesus used. But our communion theology teaches us that using the specific earthly elements that Jesus used is not the most important thing that happens at this table. And it is not a strict requirement. That is why, if we were all on a deserted island together and all we had was coconut water and bananas, well, that's the body and blood that we would be able to use. That's why it doesn't matter where the water we use in baptism comes from. Here at Grace, we get water out of the tap for our baptismal font. It's not the water itself that matters. It's how that water is an experience of the grace of God. It is how God works through that water. The earthly elements, grain and grape, they are not actually what feed us at the table. It's God who feeds us at the table. And we are fed with God's grace. We do not fully understand what Jesus does in communion, but we do know that when we receive something at the table, it is Jesus who gives it. It's Jesus who feeds us and feeds each and every one of us with his welcome, with his forgiveness, with his inclusion, with his love, with his grace. No matter what earthly element we use, God is always present in communion. Now, Hannah, she cannot safely consume our taken for granted methods of communion. So Nate, Janae and I discussed what Hannah could safely receive at the table, what she could hold in her hands, what would communicate to her that she is loved by God, that she is forgiven, that she is included at this table, that she is a welcome child of God. We decided that Hannah would receive a sticker because they're safe for her and they give her joy. So right away, these stickers communicate two very important lessons from Jesus. That she is safe with Jesus, and that Jesus Christ is filled with absolute joy at her presence. But beyond that, these stickers now mean that when Hannah reaches out to receive something at the table, she is given a gift of God's grace. She has that feeling of receiving something, something that comes from God. Hannah gets to receive a tangible item, just like the rest of us, through which Jesus feeds her. Today, she gets to fully take her place in Jesus' meal. And today, in celebration of Hannah's first communion, we get to help her feel included around God's table. And here's the part I'm asking all of you to help with. Just for today, in celebration of Hannah's first communion, all of us will be receiving the same thing at communion. Just for today, on this very special day of celebration, the tangible item that we receive at the table, it will be the stickers that are the earthly means through which Hannah communes, through which she is fed by the grace of God. Now, I have a lot of reasons why I'm having all of us commune in this way today, but there is one in particular that I want you to pay attention to. When we commune with Hannah today, and we all commune in the way that she will be communing from now on, we are making it clear that we believe that God is fully, 100% present with Hannah at this table and in this meal. If none of us were willing to commune by receiving the stickers, then we would be conveying that we don't believe that God is just as present in this way with him as God is present in our taken for granted means of communion. And I want all of us to know without doubt today that God is just as present with Hannah as God is present with all of us, that God loves her just as much as God loves every person in this room, and her communion is just as good as any other way of communing at the table of Jesus Christ. When we all gather at the table today, we do so as a family in Christ. And when we all receive stickers today, as the means of receiving God's grace, it shows beyond doubt that this way of communing is just as filled with God's grace as any other. Because because it's not the bread that feeds us, it's God. Now, I do have special instructions for you all on this special day. When you receive at the table today, I ask you to really think about how you need to be fed by God's grace. Because what you receive at the table this week and every other week is the grace of God. That is the gift that Jesus gives. His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His welcome. That is the food that nourishes our hearts, our bodies, our souls, our minds, all of it. That is what you are fed with today and every day. So, when you receive your sticker, put it on immediately, just like you eat the bread and the wine immediately, and place it over your heart so you feel really good how you have been fed today by the grace of God. And when you place that sticker on your heart, and you see all the other members of this community, this family, being fed in the same way, think about how it feels to be a part of this family who is united by God at God's table. Think about how it feels that Hannah, one of God's beloved children, gets to fully take her place at the table of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Think about how it feels to truly welcome.